Today, I'm going to discuss exercise in individuals with diabetes. There's two papers I want you to review, and one of them is an ADA position statement on exercise that was published last year that is incredibly good. It's a very comprehensive review of all of the literature on exercise in people with diabetes. A lot of it's for type 2 diabetes, but some of it applies for patients with type 1 diabetes as well. But it's about as thorough a review as you're going to get, and it really goes through all the principles of exercise in people with diabetes, why people should exercise, and really how to approach exercise. So that's a very good reference, and again, it's a position statement in Diabetes Care from 2016. The other article, though, that I'm going to talk about a little more was one that I had the good fortune of being part of, and it's about exercise in individuals with type 1 diabetes. And there's never, to my knowledge, been a really thorough summary of not only the literature on exercise in individuals with type 1 diabetes, and trust me, there are not that many studies that look at this, but also, in this article, we give expert advice as how patients with type 1 diabetes should approach exercise, and we give you a lot of suggestions as how to teach your patients. And I have so many referrals of patients who come to see me because they say, my diabetes is going well, but every time I exercise, I develop hypoglycemia. And hypoglycemia is the big reason that patients with diabetes don't exercise. So this article that I was part of is published in this year's Lancet Endocrinology and Diabetes. And as I said, it's a review of exercise in individuals with type 1 diabetes. And let me tell you the basic principles. So first of all, I take care of all sorts of people who exercise of all ages, from all walks of life. I've taken care of Olympic athletes and NHL hockey players, to kids who play soccer, to 80-year-olds who go for a walk. And the most important thing that we have to think of for our patients who are on insulin is how to make sure they don't have too much insulin in their body when they're starting to exercise. So what we need to do for each person is to figure out how to do this best. And in general, I don't necessarily want people to have to eat extra in order to exercise because many of our patients are trying to exercise to lose weight. So what we recommend is that patients, if they're going to exercise within, say, 90 minutes of a meal, that they reduce the amount of insulin they give the meal before the exercise. And that if patients are on a pump, they can also reduce the basal rate on the pump to give them less insulin over the duration of the time they're exercising. Then a patient, while exercising, may need to ingest additional carbohydrates. And depending on the length of the exercise and the intensity of the exercise, a patient may need 15 to 30 grams of carbohydrates for every 30 minutes of exercise. And then after exercise, patients may say, but my blood sugar goes up. And you know what? That very often happens, particularly for more stressful exercise, because catecholamine levels go up and blood sugars rise after exercise. So I have a lot of patients who get very discouraged by this. They'll go out to play tennis, they'll have a really intense match, and their blood sugar will be 300 after they do this exercise. But the key to that post-exercise hyperglycemia is that patients don't overcorrect it. Because basically, as soon as that individual becomes hydrated and they cool down, that blood sugar level will come down on its own. So I tell patients that it's a really good idea to do some low-intensity cool-down after they've done some sort of high-intensity activity. And if they do that, they'll see that they don't need that much correction insulin. Or if they do, I have them give half a dose after exercise, in addition to eat a snack that contains 30 to 60 grams of carbs so that they can replete glycogen following an episode of exercise. Now, that's all for the short-term exercise period, but there's also delayed hypoglycemia that can happen 12 to 24 hours later, often overnight if a patient exercises in the morning. So many of my patients who exercise need to reduce their overnight insulin, and this may mean reducing their long-acting insulin or reducing the overnight basal rate on the pump. But I think it's important to discuss this with your patients because there's such a clear approach to dealing with exercise in our patients with diabetes. And most of the time, our patients feel at a loss to figure this out. And I think many providers don't have a rational approach to doing this. So these two articles really help, I believe, give a path for doing this, providing information to us and also to my patients who are interested. I also give them the article from The Lancet just because for patients who are interested, it can also give them some clues as to what to do. Now, the final thing I'm going to say is that it turns out that if you do bursts of exercise or resistance exercise like weight training, it either keeps blood sugar levels even or it raises blood sugar levels. And so if somebody, say, wants to do 30 minutes of cardio and 30 minutes of resistance or weight training, they should do the resistance exercise first because that will stabilize the blood sugar levels for the aerobic portion of their exercise. So it turns out that even changing how people work out can help them achieve their glucose targets. And we really don't want patients to go low, first and foremost, but also to become more variable. And sometimes I see this, that patients after exercise, their sugars are high, their sugars are low, they're going up and down. And what we want to help people do is have a rational approach to exercise, how they should eat before the exercise, what they should do with carbs during exercise, and then afterwards. But I think if we do this and follow the principles laid forth in these articles, we can really help our patients exercise successfully. And frankly, I think all of us should be exercising, whether we have diabetes or not. Thank you.